This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now enjoy today's message with Ted Cunningham.
If you're new to our church, all of you just raised your hands. We are in this series called The Greatest Sermon Ever. It's not the one you're about to hear, but we are going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we're in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and today we're in part 10, Pray Like Jesus. And last year, I met a lady who asked me to start praying for her son, and not a believer, and he had no desire to be a part of any sort of church, and she was plugged into her church, not this one, a different church, and she said, I just want him to start coming with me to church. Would you pray for that, Ted? And I go, I did. So I started praying. He started showing up because moms have a power over their children. I don't know if you know this. And how many of you were drugged to church as a kid? Can I just see your hand? Your mom didn't ask. She just brought you. But once you become an adult, you get to start making these decisions. Well, he really connected with the pastor. He was shocked at how friendly the people were at this church. And he kept attending. And I asked her the next time I saw her, how's it going? He's showing up, which that's what we prayed for. But now let's pray, Ted, pray that he gives his life to Jesus. And I saw her a few weeks ago. So it's almost, we're right at about a year. I said, hey, how's it going with your son? Ted, keep praying. He's making a lot of dumb decisions. And I'll take that from a mom. And I said, well, you know, actually the church you're going to just did a whole message on making wise decisions. Was he there for that? No, he was out of state. I said, what was he doing out of state? And she said, making another dumb decision. And I don't know if you have someone that you've been praying for a long time, and maybe you've given up. And today I want to ask you about your prayer life. I want to ask you, how would you describe your prayer life? Would you describe it as hot, cold? Would you say it's fervent? Like, Ted, I'm a prayer warrior. Maybe it's routine or stuck in a rut. Ted, the only time we pray as a family is at mealtime, and it is a fast prayer. Maybe you've given up. Maybe you stopped asking questions. Maybe when you pray, there are tears. Maybe when you pray, you feel like your prayers don't even hit the ceiling. Today, we want to talk to that new believer who's never had a prayer life. And like, where do you get started? Jesus is going to give us the model prayer today, the Lord's Prayer, as we get started. Some of you say, I am a prayer warrior. I am interceding on behalf of my family and those in this church. Some of you might say you're right in the middle. You would say your prayer life is more like room temperature. And I love the Kendrick Brother movies. I've seen them all more than one time. And my favorite Kendrick Brothers movie is War Room. And primarily because of this prayer warrior right here.
I appreciate you coming this morning. Coffee will be ready in a couple of minutes.
Oh, sounds good. Mm-hmm. Now, I ran a sales report from the area. Wrote down a suggested asking price for the house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say your husband did for a living?
Well, we actually haven't talked about that, but he's a sales rep for Brightwell Pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm. And where did you say you attended church?
Well, we occasionally attend Riverdale Community.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you know the Lord?
Yes, I would say I know the Lord. You think the Lord is okay with this asking price?
Mm-hmm. And you have children?
Miss Clara, my husband Tony and I have been married for 16 years. We have one daughter, her name is Danielle, and she's 10. She enjoys pop music and ice cream and jumping rope.
Oh, well, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. Now, you say you attend church occasionally. Is that because your pastor only preaches occasionally?
Miss Clara, I really would like to help you sell your house. That's why I'm here. As far as my faith is concerned, I believe in God just like most people. He's very important to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get our coffee. So if I asked you what your prayer life was like, would you say that it was hot or cold?
I don't know that I would say it's hot. I mean, we're like most people. We have full schedules. We work. But I would consider myself a spiritual person. I'm not hot, but I'm not cold either. Just, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Here you go. I've got cream or sugar if you need
it. Oh, no, thank you. I like it black. Miss Clara, you like your coffee room temperature?
No, baby, mine's hot.
I want to know what age you get to that you're able to do stuff like that, and it's not considered rude. Well, I'll ask it again. Where would you put your prayer life? Would you say it's hot? Would you say it's cold? Somewhere in the middle. And today, Jesus is going to address the why and the how with prayer. And it's all rooted in this relationship with our Heavenly Father. So to kind of change our thinking from going to prayer, you know, like Jelly Roll, where I only talk to God when I need a favor, moving from that to relationship. And I love, you know, talking to parents, because mom and dad, you might be wondering why you're so exhausted. And mom, one of the reasons you're exhausted is because of the number of questions your children ask on a daily basis. I don't think it's the stuff around the house. It's, we know this, by age five, like between, by the time they talk to the time of age five, they're asking between 200 and 300 questions per day. And it's exhausting. I've often wanted Amy to come out every morning like my press secretary and be like, your father's going to make a brief statement, but he won't be taking any questions. Charles Billingsley, he ended our Revelation series last summer, and he's going to be back to lead worship in June and July, a couple of Sundays. He's been keeping track of all of the questions that his son Cooper asked. His kids are grown like mine now, but when his kids were small, he kept a journal of questions Cooper asked. And it's important that we answer questions to the best of our ability when our kids are small, because their questions change. They get more serious. So I want to keep the heart of my child open so they come to me as teenagers and as young adults, and they are continuing to ask me questions. But boy, when they're young, they ask questions we can't answer. These are Cooper's questions to his dad, Charles. And Charles said a lot of this was when he was in the back seat asking them as they were driving. Dad, if it were 2,331 degrees outside for a quarter second, would we die? Dad, if you could be a picture, where would you want to hang? Dad, in Bible times, what did they use to moisturize their lips? Dad, can you imagine how good a volcano must feel after it erupts? Only a boy would ask such a question. Dad, did they ever have sunny days in the dark ages? Great question. That I love to move into the questions and the prayers of children, because today we're talking about being children of God, coming to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And here's some of the best prayers I've ever heard from children. Dear God, when mom makes leftovers, do I have to pray for the food again? Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do that. And this one I thought is good worldview developing in the life of a child. Dear God, please take care of mommy and daddy, sister, brother, my doggy, and me. And oh, please take care of yourself, God. If anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. The Boones told me this story years ago. Their daughters are all grown now, but they grew up in this church. So they heard me for years end prayer on Sunday morning with, and everyone agreed and said, amen. Okay. So she told me that when they would end their mealtime at dinner, their daughters would pray, and everyone agreed with Ted and said, amen. Like a child, we come to our Heavenly Father in prayer. And just like we learned last week with giving, right? Don't practice your acts of righteousness in front of others to be seen, to be honored by them, right? To try to impress them. Because if your goal is to impress somebody with your giving, You've received your reward. That's what you went into it looking for, and that's what you got. Jesus is going to continue that same thought today with prayer and fasting. And to add to what we talked about last week, we, with our prayers, we are not trying to impress others or God. This is about a relationship we have with him. So let's jump into Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Jesus says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners," and here it is again, "to be seen by others. They love to show people how religious and how spiritual they were. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full." It's what they were wanting, it's what they got, and that's it. He goes on to say, "But when you pray, go into your room." If you haven't seen the movie War Room, I encourage you, look it up this week and watch War Room. Clear out a closet and turn it into your prayer closet. Go into the room, just you and your Father in heaven. Close the door. Pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 7, "And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." How many parents in here relate to that? Your children bring requests to you, but you know what they need even before they bring it. That is your heavenly Father. He knows what you need. So there's no need to impress him, coerce him, manipulate him. It's not going to happen, right? Come to him as your Father. So if you've never had a prayer life, you would say, "Ted, that I would consider myself a spiritual person. I know the Lord. I'm a new believer, but I don't have much of a prayer life." My encouragement to you today is we're going to start with this. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. In other words, there's no need for repetition. Okay, and is it okay to repeat a prayer at mealtime? Yes, it's okay to repeat a prayer. Do I pray the same thing at night when Amy and I pray? Yes, there are prayers that I repeat often, but it's not necessary in a prayer to repeat the same line over and over and over and over again, as though saying it a bunch of times will get something more from God. So it's not necessary. Also, you don't need to fill the room with lofty words. I can be honest with you, I've caught myself doing this when I'm praying in public. I'll sometimes pause and go, "I got to come up with a pretty good word right here. This is the moment right here to really impress, you know, that I know what I'm talking about." Or, "Ted, why don't you, in that pause right there, use a word everybody knows. Just go there." No need to use fancy words. Again, not trying to impress people. Remember, Jesus is not teaching us here that you should never pray in public. No. We pray corporately. He's dealing with the motive, the heart behind it. I don't need to keep repeating myself, and I don't need to use lofty words. And this is a big one because I've been there. I've watched people. No need to change your voice. Have you ever been in that group? That group where you're like, somebody starts praying, you're like, "Man, what just happened to you?" God is one syllable, okay? You don't need to pray. You don't need to do any of that stuff. Be yourself. Use the voice you use when you're talking to me. Right? No need to change your voice in this. This is so important. Jesus is not impressed by prayers prayed to impress others or himself. He's not talking about public prayers that edify others or build up the body of Christ. Yes, we can pray in public, and I actually want to encourage you to do that. I show up to gatherings all the time, and they're like, "Preacher's here." And I'm like, "I'm the only one in this room that knows how to pray." Right? You can pray in public. And that may be a step that some of you take. So Jesus is going to move from the why, the motive, to the how. And the Lord's Prayer, many of you probably grew up in a denomination or a church that recited the Lord's Prayer every single week. We have a family member that is now with the Lord, and from out of state, they would visit our church. It's the only thing they didn't like about Woodland Hills Family Church. Said, "We love everything going on, but I just need you to recite the Lord's Prayer." And all the Lutherans said, yeah. So my family member was Lutheran. So the point being, Jesus isn't giving this to us to be recited. Is it okay to recite the Lord's Prayer? Yes. But it's a model. It's a pattern for us to follow. And if you've never had what you would call a vibrant prayer life, this is where I want you to start. I want you to open your Bible this week to Matthew 6, maybe before mealtime, or maybe in the car before you get out and go into work. pray through this, but use it as an outline, as a pattern to follow as you come to your Heavenly Father in prayer. So let's jump into this. Matthew 6, 9 through 15. This then is how, notice it doesn't say what you should pray, but this is how you should pray, our Father in heaven. Starting this off, I think sometimes we jump right past the word our, but you're gonna see the word our and us, meaning prayer has a community focus. Even when it's just you alone with God in your prayer closet, there's still an us component to it. Meaning it's not just me and I that I'm praying for, it's us. I'm praying as a community with you, but even by myself. Our Father in heaven, prayer starts with worship, understanding the relationship, coming to him as your Father. Hallowed be your name, reverence, understanding who he is. And then verse 10 says, this isn't about me getting something from God. It's about me getting to know God, about me connecting with my Heavenly Father. This isn't about me getting him to align with my plans, just the opposite. I want in my prayer to be aligning with God and his will and purpose and plan and mission for my life. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Can you ask the Lord for your needs to be met? Absolutely. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And when we get to verses 14 and 15, Jesus is going to address this even more. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Guidance and protection. Now look at what verses 14 and 15 says. Very important. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. Your heart's posture in prayer, very important. Coming to the Lord with bitterness, resentment, the thoughts of revenge or retaliation toward another person, we'll see this in just a second, is something we need to be releasing in prayer. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. So we're talking about keeping it simple today. And number two, I want to encourage you, follow this pattern. Follow the pattern we just read in the Lord's Prayer. Starting with seeking your Father's will, the relationship you have with your Heavenly Father. Timothy Keller says, prayer is about awe and intimacy. It is both a conversation and an encounter with God. He says, a rich, vibrant, consoling, hard-won prayer life is the one good that makes it possible to receive all the other kinds of goods rightly and beneficially. Prayer is not merely a way of getting things from God, but it's a way of getting more of God himself. We cry out to our Father in heaven, we rely on him, and we want to be aligned with his plan and his purpose and his mission for our lives. Next, ask him for needs to be met. We don't start there. We don't only pray. God is not an ATM machine that we come to when we need something, but you probably have experienced this in your walk with the Lord, that times in your life that are comfortable, needs are met, maybe you've seen your prayer life grow stagnant. That yes, we come to him for our daily needs. Number three, confess your sins. Take time. Confession is admitting your sins. Repentance is turning from your sins. It's saying I'm going to live a different way from this point forward, but that you and I would take the time, and the Bible says very clearly, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we take time to confess. And then after confessing, realizing we've got problems, there are people in our lives that have problems and cause us problems. I can be a difficult person to deal with. You can be a difficult person to deal with. Acknowledging this before the Lord, I'm releasing those who offend me. Lord, I've prayed long enough that you would wipe this person off the face of the earth. You haven't answered that prayer, so maybe I should change my prayer. And release this because it's affecting my relationship with you. Jesus was clear about that in verses 14 and 15. I want to release this person. The next one is seek guidance. There's nothing greater. I'm a dad who loves when now my adult children ask me for help and ask me for direction. The reason I'm glad I answered their questions, no matter how exhausting they were when they were little, that now that they're older, that they seek guidance and help from me. I pulled in the driveway the other day and Carson had his hood popped and he was changing out the LED light bulbs in the car. And I just felt like, okay, this is, you know, I'm not a real handy guy. You probably figured that out over the years, but you know, headlights I got. So, or at least I thought I did. And he comes around the corner, pops his head. And there's just something that happens to a dad when the son pops his head around the corner and goes, "Dad, can you help me put these LED bulbs in?" I'm like, "I got it." I start rolling up my sleeves and I'm like, "Could you go inside for just a second? Because this is going to get awkward." Anyway, and I ran it down to the gas station real fast and had a guy do it for me. But no, I did it. But you know, religion, think about this for a second. You've heard this expressed. I don't know who said this the first time. Religion is, "I messed up, Dad's going to kill me." But the gospel, your relationship you have with your Heavenly Father because of Jesus, the mediator between God and man, the gospel says, "I've messed up, I need to call Dad." It's not this, it's this embrace of the Father. We seek guidance. We also seek protection. Seeking protection. I pray this over my kids. I don't know how many times, thousands, I bet. When they left my presence, I'd put my hand on them. Leaving the car, leaving the house, I would pray the prayer Sammy Rodriguez, his dad, prayed over him. "Father, cover them in the blood of Jesus. Protect them from evil. Fulfill your purpose in their lives." And I, you know, again, as a dad, there's nothing greater. I go into restaurants, I have to have the vantage point. I don't know if you've ever watched this. You probably have seen reels about this where dads are constantly looking for the bad guy. And deep down, we're kind of hoping something goes down so we can prove it. When we walk on the sidewalk, when our kids were small, what did I do? I kept the family on that side of, and I was between the road and my family. And again, I would tell my kid, I would tell him, "How much does your dad love you?" As we'd walk down a sidewalk, "You love me, Dad." "What does that mean, Dad? If a car jumps the curb and is coming at us, you're going to throw us out of the way and you're going to stop the car. You're going to take the hit." "That's exactly right. So would it kill you to clean your room? That's all I'm asking. I'm laying down my life for you." Seek your Father's will. He is your Heavenly Father. And do you believe he wants good for you? Do you believe he has a plan and a purpose for your life? Why would you want yours? Why would you want your agenda and for him to align to you? No, seek his will. Ask him to meet your needs. The Bible says he already knows what you need before you even ask. Confess your sins to him. You're not going to surprise him with anything. Release those who offend you. And watch what that does for your relationships as you start praying for other people. Seek his guidance and seek his protection. So I'm going to encourage all of us to take a next step. Wherever you would describe it, room temperature, hot, prayer warrior, or we don't even pray at mealtime. So here's what we're going to do. Number one, if you have no prayer life at all, get started. Get started praying at mealtime. I remember years ago when I was encouraging the church to do this, had a new believer, a dad, who, rough guy, came to know the Lord, radically saved, and he heard me one Sunday talk about, "Hey, I want you to start praying." He'd never prayed a prayer out loud in his life, let alone with his family. And I'll never forget the next Sunday, he walked into me, he said, "Ted, I couldn't do it at a mealtime in front of everybody." He said, "So I thought I'd start with just one member of the family." And I went into my daughter's room, he said, which was who I felt would be the most understanding and forgiving and patient and encouraging. And I'm like, "I'm sorry you don't have that with your wife." but he said, I walked into my daughter's room. This is what I hope happens across our church and in this community. He goes, "Ted, I walked into her room and I couldn't even look at her." He goes, "I just, everything that was going on inside of me." So think about it. If you've walked with the Lord for decades, please don't forget who is sitting in here and across this campus right now. He said, "I walked in and I was just kind of kicking the ground and I asked her," and I'm going to do it just like he told me he did. He goes, "I asked her," I go, "I don't know, you want to pray or something?" And she came running over to him and grabbed his shoulder and go, "Dad, I would love that." Dad, can you imagine, if you've never prayed with your family, can you imagine your wife, your kids that are just, they're longing for it? Get started. And so for some of you, you do, you already pray at mealtime, and that's the only time you pray. Okay, I want to encourage you, break routine. Pray outside of mealtime. That's your next step. Or instead of, "Dear Jesus, thank you for this food, in your name, amen," ask around the table, "Does anyone have anything we can pray for right now?" And some of you are like, "Food's gonna get cold. How long are we going with this?" No, to take it and to say, we need to spend time as a family praying. Break routine. If mealtime's the only time, maybe say, "Hey, as a family, before everyone goes to bed, that we're all gonna gather and we're gonna pray." Our family would start with the youngest member and work their way up to me. And let me tell you, don't get legalistic with this, because there were plenty of nights we came home from events and we tossed the kids in their bed and I said, "Amen," and walked out of the room. We were exhausted. There was no, so I'm not telling you to be legalistic with this. Pray with your kids before they leave the car, right? Pray with your kids before they leave for school. How about this? I mean, over the phone with them, pray with them. If your kids don't live here and they're adult children, could you imagine having a conversation with your kid on the phone? You never prayed with your family, that now you can say, "Hey, can we pray before I hang up?" So get started. I want everyone to take a step. Break routine. And then if you only pray for yourself and your needs and what you want, you cry out to the Lord, begin interceding for others. Bring that community aspect of the Lord's Prayer in. Lead us, right? Deliver us. Give us, our Father, that we would intercede for other people and their needs, like the lady who asked me to start praying for her son. That is, I am praying because I know I'm going to see her again probably in 3 weeks. I know where she works and I know the place that I'm going to be able to go in and go, "How's it going with your son?" I am looking forward to the day that I walk in and she goes, "Ted, he prayed to receive Christ. He's being baptized at our next baptism service." I believe that day's coming. I'm praying for that day, interceding for others, not just yourself. And then how about this? This is a spiritual discipline that's lost in a lot of churches today, but I'm gonna encourage you, if your prayers lack emotion, what about lament? Go to Psalm 13 and read that today, you know, and look at the questions in the lament psalm. Why, God, when you are hurting, suffering, experiencing loss, why, how long am I going to have to deal with this? You don't seem to be, why are the end, this is the prayer, why are you letting my enemies, the people that are trashing my reputation and my business, they seem to be succeeding, and I'm the one suffering. Bring that type of prayer to, that is a lament. But when you read the laments, no, they always end with the confession of trust. Even though I have this pain, and even though I'm bringing you these difficult questions, guess what? I still trust in you, period. I believe you will come through. Lament. And then this one, fasting. If you grew up Baptist, you don't have no idea what I'm talking about right there. We didn't talk about this. You could replace that with potluck. But this is an important spiritual discipline. What is fasting? Fasting is denying the flesh. It's self-control. And it's not just for the purpose of denying the flesh. It's denying the flesh so that you can depend more on God. That's what happens when you fast. That's what should happen when you fast. And what happens now with the Pharisees, as we finish out this part in the Sermon on the Mount today, Jesus is going to address the Pharisees because, again, their motives are all wrong, just like in giving and in praying. In fasting, where they're supposed to be denying the flesh, they're actually glorifying the flesh. Here's what Jesus says as we close this out today. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces. So disheveled, they walk out disheveled. Right? To show others they are fasting. Again, they just wanted to impress people. We are spiritual. They would do this twice a week. They would go like this. "Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face." You need to take extreme measures to make sure this is something between you and the Lord, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus, again, is concerned about motives. And when we fast, right, we don't try to look somber or disheveled so that everyone thinks we're super spiritual Christians. We're fasting. It's about self-control, dependence on God, focusing totally on Him and seeking His guidance. It reminds us that we are sustained by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And how often we fast is not commanded or prescribed in the Bible, because that too, like giving and like praying, that's between you and the Lord. And you've never fasted a day in your life or a meal in your life. This might be your next step. And I want to encourage you to take it. This week, whether you're on a landscaping crew or in a cubicle, and maybe you do lunch with your coworkers, that maybe this week and this week or any time leading up to Easter, I want to encourage you, maybe start by fasting a lunch. By fasting a lunch, I mean everybody's going out to eat, and you don't have to tell them why you're not going with them, but you, instead of going out to lunch with them, you have something on your heart, and you need to pray, and you need to seek the Lord's guidance and protection on something. You go sit out quietly in your car. Maybe you turn on worship music, you read your Bible, and you pray. And every time you feel a hunger pain, and listen, I know I'm listening to this spiritual discipline right now, convicted myself, because you can ask the staff around here, around 11:30 every day, I'm running around looking for Amy. Where is she? I'm starving, right? I'm like, we got to get to lunch. When you are denying the flesh like that, let those hunger pains be a reminder and to drive you to dependence on God. This doesn't mean you fast from 12 to 1 and then go get a burger to eat in the office at 1:15. You're not just delaying stuff. You're like, I'm waiting until the next meal. For some of you that may fast meals, you're going to take this next step where you're going to say, after dinner tonight, I'm not eating until dinner the next day. I have something that requires me interceding on behalf of the child. Listen, if my child didn't know the Lord, you know how much I would be praying and fasting. If my child was making dumb decisions, you know how many meals I'd be skipping? Praying and fasting that God, the Holy Spirit, would call my child by name. And some of you, you have something in your life right now that you are living with anxiety and worry, and you spend your day fretting, and I want to encourage you to replace it with prayer and fasting. So the question is, what bold prayers will you pray this week? Who will you ask for their prayer request? Who will you ask to pray and intercede on your behalf? If your mind's racing at night and you feel like you are at the bottom, you feel trapped, there's no way out, this is the time to pray and fast. And you don't need to let anybody know about it. Be quiet about it. Don't post it on Facebook, please. Don't put it on social media. Let it be between you and your Father in heaven. I'm going to invite you to stand as we close out in prayer today. All across campus, I'm going to invite you to stand outside over at the chapel, the coffee company, out in the foyer. If you've never placed faith in Jesus, so prayer life isn't even on your radar right now. The prayer team will be down front and over at the chapel. That today would be the day you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that He's been raised from the dead. Your life has been about you for your whole life, and today is the day you surrender to your Heavenly Father's will for your life. They'll be down front. I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, reignite our prayer lives with you. We want to pray without ceasing. Prayers of adoration, confession, thanksgiving, requests. This is our time to talk to you and hear from you. We open our Bibles to hear from you. We commit to praying more together as a family outside of mealtime. We commit to taking a next step. We don't want described of us room temperature prayers. We want bold, hot prayers that are on fire as we are connected to you. Our relationship with you is our reward in all of this. Thank you for the opportunity to know and be known. We are grateful. Thank you for this church. May we be a praying church in our homes this week, in the workplace, in our schools, as we seek your will, your provision, your guidance, your protection, and your forgiveness in our lives. We pray all this in the authority of the name of Jesus. And everyone agreed and said, amen.